The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
You nailed it. You nailed it. We're just on the flow. Although, can you promise me that this week you actually fucking talk loud enough that the people can hear you? I was in the car on the way back from a gig with Nemed, and he's like, I was falling asleep like I normally do. And he's like, I'm going to put the podcast on because I haven't heard you enough today. I'll fucking listen to the podcast. So he put the podcast on and he couldn't listen to it because A, it was loud outside. B, I was snoring. And B, C, you were coming across like a, hi, I'm Lloyd Barnes. And I was like, I'm Craig Petty. So, you know,
I think
he was sitting back in his chair, relaxing, because he was also at the same time watching the snooker.
I fucking was. There's no denying it. The microphone was like a meter from my face. I thought it would work, but it didn't. And I'm also just going to say that you probably talked way loud and that made it all go wrong. And technology, there we go. That's my excuses out of the way. You're welcome.
Yeah, well, there you go. You
didn't miss much. You didn't miss much, everyone. So welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So what have we got? You're excited. I'm excited. We're flying out to Magic Live this week.
Hell yes.
Lloyd is getting there on Lloyd's leaving on Friday. I'm leaving on Wednesday because I'm stopping en route for a couple of days at Penguin Land just to film some stuff with them. And then as soon as I've done that, I'm going to be busy, man, in the day because I'm going to be on the Penguin booth.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to be okay in the evening, but I'm going to be working my ass off. The last time I worked a booth was at World Magic Shop at Blackpool. I used to do Blackpool every single year. And I remember at the end of the 4 days, I was fucked. I couldn't move. I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I was just fucking beat.
And you don't stop going till like 3-4 a.m. in the morning as well. Are you going to be drinking at Vegas?
How am I going to survive without drinking on that stand? I need to bring my A game. I'm going to have Nick Lacoppo there. I'm going to have Eric Tate there. You know,
is Roddy going to be there?
I don't know. I know Nick and Eric are going to be there. It's going to be the beard, it's going to be the hair, and it's going to be me.
The beard, the hair,
and the troublemaker,
the lack of giving a fuck. the beard, the hair, and the social hand grenade.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And by the way, I'd like to offer some advice to anybody who's coming over to the Penguin booth. I love hanging out with magicians. I absolutely do. And I love chatting to magicians. When you come over to the Penguin booth, please, yes, show me magic and let me show you magic. But if I'm demming something, because this was my bugbear on the World Magic Shop stand, if you're there for 4 days and you want to come over and see a trick, I will happily dem it for you. If you then want to see the trick again and you want to come back later, that's fine. But if you come back for a 7th, 8th, 9th time asking to see the same fucking trick, I might actually headbutt you off the balcony. And I don't even know if there's a balcony there, just because, like, you don't need to see it like 7 or 8 times. If you don't want to buy it, that's fine. It's not a problem. But you don't have to watch the same fucking trick for the 7th time and then do that same fucking thing where you go, okay, I'll write it in my book and I'll come back later. Fuck off. Fuck off.
Oh, man.
If Penguin are listening to this, they're going to instantly regret. Yeah.
He's going to headbutt our potential customers for showing an interest in a potential sale.
Only the annoying ones.
Yeah. In fairness, from the last few that I've been to, it's not as busy as Blackpool by a country mile. I don't think... I think it closes... Does it close earlier? The dealer's hall's not open as long. And much less people in there. And it's a tiny dealer's room. It's literally, it's kind of like a lecture hall size. You know, and like a... a small lecture hall. It's like that size with just a, like.
What's your goal there? Because we spent like months with you umming and ahhing whether you're actually going to go. You're going there. So you're going there. I mean, I've got my fucking day set out. It's probably, I'm going to be draining fucking Las Vegas dry of lemons. By the time I've finished on that fucking booth, there ain't going to be any lemons anywhere in that state because I'm going to dem the shit out of chop.
Hopefully, but I can get my very own chop as well when I'm there. You know, just saying.
I'll hook you up. I know.
I need material for Fuller.
Yeah, well, you need to show her a good trick that'll fool her, and that's definitely chop.
Oh yeah, shit. Okay, maybe I'll go to some other stand then. Like,
yeah, go find another stand. I think I have a camera there. Go check those guys out. There you go.
I don't have a goal. I mean, at Blackpool, it was mainly about representing Murphy's, just sort of in general. And go into the dealer's hall and looking for products that were not yet wholesale, and also talking to people that had ideas for products that didn't know how to make them like mass manufactured. But so that's kind of like, there's not really a goal. When I used to work at other companies, they would be like, right, you have to hit targets. We want 30 artists. Or I remember like they wanted like minimum of so many artists signed by the end, and it was real desperation, but it's not so much the same here.
No, here you're looking for people. So you've got really, if there's a creator that's coming to Magic Live that's not really bought a product out yet and they want to kind of start creating magic, they can come to you and show them your ideas, that their ideas. That's cool.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be a beginner. I know plenty of people that have been in the industry a long time, but this maybe their first foray into product creation. And people that have released products in the past and want to try going to Murphy's. I know like Kim Anderson has just had like the best experience releasing through Murphy's, his shrapnel stuff. And we're obviously now doing loads more products. So yeah, someone like Kim Anderson, you know, was like, wanted to dip his toe in a different company. And yeah, so listen, if you've got a good magic product and you want to see it on the shelves of every magic shop in the world, every good shop in the world, come to Murphy's.
Very good point. And if there's a dealer there or a production company that's interested in maybe putting a product out through Murphy's, they can speak to you about that as well, and you can get them in touch with the right people, right?
Yeah. But mainly just come and hang out, say hi, say hello. Let's go get some food together. I'm always against like autographs, because I think we're not famous magicians. Like, people ask you for autographs, people ask me for autographs. We're not David Blaine's, Copperfield's, Chris Angel's. Just come and I'd rather have a hangout and a jam session and get rid of any, if anyone thinks that there's any air of like grandeur with someone like an arsehole like me, please get rid of that and just come and see that I'm a normal little fat idiot.
It's not. You ought to see how he walks through the fucking dealer hall. He walks through strutting. He doesn't walk, he struts.
I waddle.
He fucking struts through the dealer hall. He's got little fucking UV torches in each hand, you know, waving them in the air. King Lux.
It was you. This year, you were the king of Blackpool. You were king of Blackpool this year. You were swamped.
I just couldn't breathe.
And now you're going to the States like Beatles on tour.
Yeah, because when you look at this, you think sex symbol, right? Like the Beatles.
Also, terrible hairstyle.
No hairstyle.
Yeah, that's really terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't judge it if there's nothing to fucking judge. Yeah,
and are you bringing an entourage with you? Like, I'm really interested in this. So, like, when you were at Blackpool, you were there with Midge and Bo, and it was you and Midge and Bo, and you guys were kind of representing Murphy's in the His House. And fuck off.
Well, we were just hanging out.
So who's
you? Me, entourage. You brought your entire fucking family.
What fucking Ryland was demming on the Alakazam stand, and he was like fucking on the gala show. He was busier than me.
He was. I seen him. He, like, a kid was going for gold. Well, Midge is going to be, not Midge, Bo will be there. Titanus has come in. Kathy and Michelle are going to be there.
Oh, they're the nicest people in the world.
Yeah, I love the best Kathy and Biz. Yeah, me too. And Michelle, they're wicked. They're such a good laugh.
You know, I tried to get Kathy to as an interview on my channel.
Did she say yes or no?
She said nobody would want to listen to me. I'm like, dude, everybody would want to listen to you. Yeah. Everyone said nobody wanted to listen to
Patrick.
Help, Patrick, thank you. My blank. And he was one of the most popular interviews. I find it fascinating, that kind of behind the scenes thing. I really do.
Yeah, me too. So it's going to be those up. But like, then George isn't going to be there. And Javier isn't going to be there either. But we're going to be hanging out with them afterwards.
Here we are. It's going to be very exciting.
Very, very, very cool. Yeah, so I'm going to imagine I'm flying out on Friday and returning on the 27th of May, I believe. That's my return flight home.
How is your wife and kid going to cope without you?
I know. This is like the main reason I didn't want to go. I've never been away from them for a fortnight. I've been away from Kaylee for a fortnight, I think, when I went to South Korea or something. But the baby, like, or Thomas, I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a puss, so I just be like, yeah, fuck it, I'll be fine. Thing is, he grows so quick, you know what I mean? It's such a difference from like week to week with him. Yeah. So all that, and the time zone in Vegas is a fucker compared to other places. Like in New York, you're not so far off the time zone, but Vegas is a cunt. So I won't give much time to chat to them, but that's probably a good thing. So I don't know. Yeah, just got to do it. You've got two kids, a wife, everything going on back home with four companies.
Yeah, but Sarah likes to make sure that I'm around as little as possible, else we'd probably kill each other. So
that's true.
You know,
that's true.
It's not like the relationship you and Kaylee have, me and Sarah, like time apart. my secret to a happy marriage is absence.
Distance.
Absence and distance, yeah. We almost killed each other in lockdown. So we're making up for it now.
So let's make this up, because I'm guessing we're going to do a podcast. We might have to record it in the hotel room up there. Yeah. The next one, potentially could do it live, maybe get some people in the room with us. We'll see how
I think that'd be really cool. Unofficial live. Because Magic Live aren't like Blackpool. They wouldn't fucking let us make a big deal of a podcast live like Blackpool did. They were promoting it. We're in the fucking program. No, Magic Live.
Do you know the thing about Magic Live, right? I don't think we know who the lecturers are, do we?
No,
I think they keep it all secret, I think.
I've been there twice, but it was a bit hazy. My big memory the last time I went was...
I didn't know you'd been before.
Yeah.
What year?
Yeah. In fact, I filmed a DVD with Dave Penn over there. We did the Craig and Dave Hit the Road DVD, which is a really good idea for a project. What we did is we just filmed our trip over to the Magic Live. And yeah. we just pounced on like loads of magicians and said, hey, we're putting a project together. Show us a move or show us a trick. And then we just came back and edited it all together. And it was just like, it's almost like a documentary of the trip, but with a load of really cool.
That's
routine.
It.
In fact, you can.
That's kind of what I'm doing for my YouTube. I'm rich grief. Like I did for Blackpool. I did like the 40 best tricks of Blackpool for my channel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be doing something along the lines of that, hopefully, whilst I'm there. But what was I going to say? So what year was that?
I can't remember. Carnival of Wonders was on. So I got to see Jeff Hobson, Kaylin. It was years ago, Kaylin and Ginger. It was years ago the last time I went, like years ago.
Yeah. I went last, it was 41 degrees, the heat over there.
Too hot.
Way too hot.
Hey, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because like the last time I was there, it was August, beginning of August, like August 3rd or 4th or something. And it was 41 degrees. I remember like me and Kaylee like running from building to building out on the strip in the daytime. But are you going to go see any shows?
Yeah, if I get time. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm planning on just working the booth. And then you and I have got some stuff that we need to do.
100%.
But
I'm never really interested in the show. I've seen the Matt King show. I really wanted to see Matt King. I've seen that show. That's actually the only magic show I've seen in Vegas.
Penn and Teller are good.
I've seen them live in London, so I'm not too bothered about seeing them. Everyone says after the fact that the Criss Angel show is phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard it is. So, I've actually seen it, but years ago, like even so long ago.
Well, yeah. Well, the last time I was there, he just like revamped the whole thing. And I remember bunches of magicians coming, going to see it and coming back and being like, fucking hell, didn't expect that from Criss Angel. And like, everyone loved it. So, but I don't really give a shit about theater shows, man. Like, I don't think I'm going to be going to any, it's just not my style of magic, you know?
Yeah, it's not.
If I'm in Las Vegas, surrounded by like you and all my magic friends, I choose time with you guys over that, you know?
Yeah. I know the sort of magic you like and you get excited about, and it ain't a big show.
If somebody showed me like a perfect A-can with my deck while we're sitting in the Orleans casino downstairs in the lobby or whatever it is, and like by the machines, that to me is better than every show combined.
Yep.
Same for you, probably.
Yeah, totally. Although I have more of an interest in the shows because I like seeing them, you know.
Oh, you do shows like that, I suppose, exactly. In a way.
Yeah, I do shows like that. So
I am. Really interesting. It's my first totally sober Vegas.
Wow.
So it's going to be an experience in itself. I wonder if I'll
don't hate fall it off the wagon and don't fall into any of your old ways. Don't go drinking. No. Don't go fucking sheep. I don't think there are any sheep in Vegas.
What do you mean, old ways? Repeat weekly performances. No, the drink doesn't interest me in the slightest. I just want to be away from it, if anything. And there's smoking indoors, which people,
you know what the weird thing is, I don't drink very often at all. Like, the only time I ever drink is like
days that end in Y.
No, I don't. Like, I don't think I've had a drink now for weeks. I don't. It's normally when I'm going on stage performing.
Yeah.
So, and I don't mean I'm going to get drunk. I'll have a couple of drinks before I go on stage when I do
Dutch Courage.
Yeah, which is, I know, not the best thing to do, but it's something I've always done. The podcast, obviously, that was a very stressful situation.
That was fucking hilarious.
That was really stressful. And I can hold my drink. I mean, I had 27 pints that night.
I know.
And then the next day,
people say that, and then you think it's bullshit. There's evidence you actually drank that much. It's fucking insane, actually, thinking about it. I don't know how you're lying. Bob was there to save the day for us both. Bob held.
How I managed to even talk and then get up to do a lecture the next day.
10 a.m. lecture. I was stone cold sober. I couldn't get up in time for your lecture. What the fuck happened?
No idea. It was fucking mental. It was absolutely mental. But
yeah,
good.
What I was going to say is I'm going to make a video probably this week, just a quick like little throw in one, but like I did like the 7 tips to survive Blackpool, one of them being wear gloves because it's so cold in Blackpool that if your hands are fucked, you can't session, you know, because it takes like an hour to defrost. But yeah, you need a certain set of rules for the Blackpool one. I remember the worst thing I did in Blackpool was I got there, in Vegas. The first time I went to Vegas, got out of the car, the Uber, it was like fucking 41 degrees again. And I traveled in joggers and a hoodie, I think, because it was cold on the airplane. I got there and I was fucking boiling. So I checked in, went straight up to my room and I was super jet lagged. It was like, I don't know, but I wanted to sleep either way what time it was. So I got into my room, pushed my double bed right next to the AC because it hadn't been on in there because it was warm in the room. So you're thinking thick joggers, hoodie, socks, everything. Pushed my bed right up to the AC, which looks like the same shape as a radiator, but it was coming up cold air. Put it up full blast, went to sleep with it on my face to cool me down. I woke up about 10 hours later with snot and spit frosted to my face. I looked like I'd been in a Bukkake movie. And then they'd frozen me in time to immortalize the image of me covered in spaff. Honestly, I had to like peel snot and I lost my voice because my throat would like had been dried out for like 8 hours. So my tip for everyone is do not sleep with the AC on your face because it will fuck you up.
That's really good advice. Really good.
Honestly, it destroyed it. It like ruined the first like day or two for me.
Man. Oh my God. That's hilarious. Outside of that, I ticked a couple of bucket list items off my bucket list this weekend. So I got back Sunday late afternoon, early evening. And from Thursday to Sunday, I was in Blackpool filming some stuff with Russ Stevens, RSVP Magic.
Wow.
He hasn't released anything.
Can you even say about this? Are you allowed to talk about this?
Fuck it. He wasn't... fuck it. He hasn't published anything or released anything since 2017 because he's been very busy with this little program that you might have heard of called BGT. He's relaunching, or he's reinvigorating and bringing back to life RSVP. And they always brought out the best stuff. I mean, I still say Eye Candy, More Eye Candy, The Unknown with Mark Bendel. Yeah. Those are the best DVDs that ever got bought out. Like the stuff that was in there. He, you know, RSVP bought out Corporate Close Up with Martin Sanderson that led to everybody using an Omnideck. Like nobody did an Omnideck before seeing Sanderson do it. Like the RSVP stuff was the most pivotal magic stuff, you know, that had ever been released. And it was just massive. And then unfortunately Rush just got too busy doing BGT and a whole bunch of other stuff, because he's not just BGT. I mean, Russ is really busy. He plans the Blackpool convention, which takes all year, along with Russ Brown and Guy Barrett. He works with BGT, which is like an all-year thing, because he's always like constantly working on that. But then he has a lot of other stuff going on as well, so he just didn't have time. But he's managed to find a bit of time. He's bringing it back, and I'm one of the artists he's going to be working with. Very exciting. Insane. It is genuinely a dream come true, because when I, you know, I always wanted to release something through RSVP. I always wanted to back in the day.
The production quality is so good. And I remember they had like a really strong, always picked like the best material. Like, and it was always really good, strong working material too.
Yeah.
I can't wait. How have you filmed all of it?
Man, I thought last time I was at Penguin, they worked me to death. Russ went above and beyond. We went, the House of Secrets. This is the other bucket list item. So you know the House of Secrets, Russ Brown's bar.
Yeah.
I'm a big Russ Brown fan. And I was performing in that bar all night, getting the live performances on the Friday and the Saturday night. So we're getting all the live performances, because Russ, very old school. And I love this, because this is something I bitch about on my channel. He wanted a live performance of every single routine.
How many routines?
Between the various different stuff that's going to be released over the next year or two, 40.
Oh my God. As a filmer, that is my nightmare. As a performer, I don't know 40 tricks.
I had sheets of paper with notes on. You know what my memory is like for tricks. It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
I had notes on different stuff. I was like, because for anybody who's never filmed a magic product before, just doing a live performance for one thing can be a bit stressful. But when you're trying to do 40, and you know, they advertised that I was going to be at the House of Secrets, so I had to do two cabaret shows as well, like I had to do with Smoke and Mirrors when we filmed the Quantum Deck. So I was doing two full 45-minute shows, as well as like all of this focus.
I don't know how you do this stuff, man. Honestly, it's not human. Like, it's literally ridiculous. Or you're just normal and I'm a lazy piece of shit. Like, I don't, it's either, it's one or the other. There's no in between on this.
There is an in between. I think you're slightly lazy and I'm awesome.
There is that.
You're not fucking lazy. Entirely true. So I got to do all that. That's been really exciting and really cool. Anything else happening with you? Anything happening in the magic community that you want to talk about?
So I've been like trying to juggle a million different things, but Lux has been obviously released last week officially. Was it last Monday?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was last Monday.
Everybody's loving it. Few people.
Well, no, there's actually.
Hang on. You got a problem with my mate Gaz Lawrence, haven't you?
We had a problem. Hell yeah.
I come onto this fucking podcast every week. And you bitch about Gaz Lawrence, and I'm the one that goes, actually, I quite like Gaz. I think he's quite cool.
Which is so unlike you, to be balanced. But yeah,
normally,
so
I want to destroy everybody on the internet. But there's certain people whose tits I want to literally rip off and twat them to death with the nipple end. However, yeah. Gaz, I just quite like him.
Well, I've never met the bloke. And
I hung out with him at Blackpool. You hung out with him at Blackpool and you didn't even know, because I didn't tell you it was Gaz Lawrence.
Really? When was this?
You were hanging out with him at Blackpool in the Ruskin, down in the downstairs pass. It was me, Mark Chandow, Gaz Lawrence, and you were there.
Oh, well, well, I didn't
and I
know.
Actually think I even went, Lloyd, this is Gaz.
Well, let me fill you in, because I think this is interesting as fuck. Some of our listeners went on the Magic Cafe and said to Gaz, Lloyd called you stupid, and they were defending Gaz.
Can I just say, by the way, guys, that's out of order. What happens on the podcast?
Yeah, fuck that. No, man, the podcast is open season. And they said, because I said, Gaz is stupid because he, in one comment, said that you could never justify using UV pen. And in another comment, said that he's been using it in his stage show for 15 years. Which then people went on the Magic Cafe and said, well, that's fucking hilarious because Gaz doesn't have a stage show. So that's bullshit. And also I called him Gaz Williams, which is a Welsh name. So people said that.
You were probably thinking about Shag and Cheap.
Yes, yeah. And then, so all that happened. And then it started getting pretty hostile. The comments were saying, oh, well, you know, if sea life is debate, da, 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 da. And I'm not a keyboard guy. I'm not a comment keyboard warrior. I just do things face to face. So I could see these comments coming in. It was getting more and more hostile in there. I thought, fuck this. So I just Googled Gaz Lawrence Magician and I found his website and I think it was him. Well, it was him. And I called him out. I just called him out the blue. And I know it's pretty rude, but I said, hey Gaz, this is Lloyd speaking. I hope you don't mind me calling. And so we started having a conversation. We ended up talking on the phone for 40 minutes. And I started off, I thought, you know what? Like, I'm going to apologize. First of all, here comes your food, Craig. I can see you. I can just see you staring off.
I just need to sell there. Wait 1 minute.
Go on then.
You keep licking Gaz's ass while I just.
Oh, yeah. Well, you. Yeah. So I said, well, first of all, I want to explain to you why I said those things. I'm not normally Craig going crazy on people, but I want to explain why I called you the stupidest person in the Magic Cafe. And then also, I want to see, like, you know, everyone's telling me you're a nice person. It's not often that I fall out with someone or don't get on with someone when everyone else thinks they're good. So I explained myself and I said, I called you stupid for this comment. So I read the comment to Gaz and it says, Gaz's comments to him. The first one said, what's the justification for the UV gimmick you carry? Totally overhyped, but to be fair, I've hardly read any of this thread as this type of gimmick would never interest me, Gaz. Then the next comment he wrote after that in the thread was, I have a brilliant stage UV pen from 15 years ago that kills for a full theater. Right. I was listening to the whole thing. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So basically the one comment says, what's the justification for carrying a UV gimmick? This would never interest me. And then in another comment, he said, I have a brilliant stage UV pen from 15 years ago that kills a full theater. So clearly everyone reading that says, well, he's been using a UV pen in a theater for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like there's no way you can't interpret that any other way.
No.
But apparently Gaz hasn't had a stage show. So the two comments contradict each other. And I said, I read those comments and I said, I called you stupid. And I said, I'm sorry. First of all, just to call anyone stupid is horrible. I shouldn't have said that. That was out of turn. I said, but I hope you can understand why I said that. And also,
actually, some people deserve it, but Gav doesn't.
Yeah, I said, also, I said, the other thing that I was getting my backup over is that I'm really proud of Lux. Put my heart and soul into it. And it's not for everyone. No trick is for everyone. I get that. I said, but what was doing my head in as well is that you were leaving negative comments in there, but repeating comments. And then I was reading contradictory comments as well. Mm-hmm. I said, I figure you're just trolling. And at that point, I thought, well, I'm going to give it back full barrels. But I said, listen, things are always taken out of context in the Magic Cafe. And I think I probably interpreted some of those comments more hostile than you intended them. And he said, people getting what Gaz was saying was that other people are getting involved in the cafe and coming between us. And he said he didn't mean the stuff he said in a hostile way. And he was speculating on the product because he doesn't have it. He said, that's what the Magic Cafe is there for. It's not to advertise, but it's to speculate. Mm-hmm. People don't have the product, speculate. And I think that's a good point. He's coming from a different place. And I think I was coming from a different place. So the phone call was, I wanted to just sort of step up and say, yo, I'm sorry for calling you names. But I wanted to justify why I was in that headspace. And, you know, I think it makes sense. I think anyone in my position would do that too. But ultimately, it's a simple case of people talking via a public forum over text comments. You're not seeing the inflections and the tone in people's posts. You're missing all the in-between details, and it comes across as horrible. And then when other people are getting involved, it was starting to get fucking nasty. So I just called him. He's sound as fuck. It turns out, like you said, me and him really, really get on. So we buried the hatchet. He's a fucking legend. I I'll say it on the podcast. I am sorry for saying horrible things about him. I just got my back up a bit, and I'm human.
He's a great guy. Here's yes. the thing.
He seemed lovely on the phone. He was lovely on the phone.
Quite a few times. He's really fucking proud of the Magic Cafe. Like, yeah. He's really proud of the Magic Cafe. And one thing that really gets his goat is creators that slag off the Magic Cafe, but they yes. go on to promote their own shit.
He did say that as well,
And that really pisses him off. And that's why I'm very careful. I fucking hate the Magic Cafe for many different reasons. Mm. However, I always then preface that by saying it's a great resource. When I'm doing research into anything, I always end up at the Magic Cafe. Some of the people on the Magic Cafe are great. However, there is a small subsection of people that it amounts to basically bullying. And that's why I hate the fucking Magic Cafe. And it just, you know, it's like a dog with a fucking bone. However, I always try to go on there. I know a lot of creators don't because they can't stand being there. I will always go on there and answer questions about anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that that's part of the audience that are wanting to buy my stuff.
That's true.
And I think I should be there to answer their questions. And I was speaking to a really big magic dealer the other day, and they were like, I never fucking go on the cafe. Mm. I don't like that kind of negativity. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of get that, but that's where your audience is. You know, that's where you got to kind of answer their questions.
It's a necessary evil. Also, in defense of Gaz, because you just reminded me of two things that he said. He said, one, he was pissed off at me because someone had asked a question about, does the light fade on or off or something? And I hadn't responded to that person. So it looked like when they were asking a question, which if the product didn't do that, it would look like a bad product or make it a bad product. He thought I just bailed on them and like just didn't want to acknowledge it. And I explained, I said, well, I made a really long live video, like a 2-hour live video, which covered all the questions. So I was answering questions there, the Facebook group. And I do only check the Magic Cafe like once or twice a week. So I said, you know, I not that I wasn't acknowledging them, but I don't, but also I'd answered those questions repeatedly. So that's why, you know, it's, you know, I think is fair, because I don't check the Magic Cafe every single day. You know that. Because you call me up, say, have I seen this and that? And he said the other thing, which is totally my fault. He said he fucking hated the hype campaign. He doesn't think there was any need for it at all. And I said, no, he's right. And I said, I deserve to eat shit on that. You know, I could take that on the chin. I think I even told you with Lux, I think by the time of release day came, the hype, even I felt it was like, fucking hell, this is like, this can't deliver now because the hype is too big on it. And yeah. I think it started off as a puzzle and clue and hunt thing. And you know, the idea is when you start marketing a product, you want to get eyes on it. And then it's a necessary evil. You want to get eyes on it. You kind of don't want everyone in the world looking at it though and waiting for it, because it's not going to be for everyone in the world. You know what I mean? So I said, yeah, no. Like I remember telling you the day of release, I said, this feels too big now. And I'm a bit fucking shit in it. So I said,
Every time something comes out that's got a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Two things happen. One, everyone gets super excited about it and the sales go through the roof.
Yeah.
But then two, people will then start to attack it that they haven't, and people that haven't got it will attack it based on the fact that they don't feel like it can live up to the hype. Like the amount of people that have posted on my channel saying, hang on a minute, do you really think that Lux is trick of the decade? And I personally fucking do. You know that I don't say anything if I don't mean it. Oh,
yeah.
You know, you're Lloyd's friend. You said it's trick of the decade. Fuck Lloyd. I think it's trick of the decade because I think it's an amazing trick. Like, I remember the first time you showed it me, I said, I need that in my life. I've had it for ages. I fucking love Lux. You know that there's a very big probably the biggest thing that my family have ever been involved with coming up fairly soon. Pardon me. Yeah. And I said,
the rape case.
Yes, I can't help it. I can't help it. But, and I rang you up and I said, I want to do Lux.
That's
the biggest thing that like, I'm involved in at the moment. And I said,
it's one of those things, like I've shown it to certain magicians, like you know the names and who they are and been offered life-changing money for it. The hype got too big. I just said to him, like, you know what, like...
So the next one, are you going to hype it as much or are you just going to let it come out?
No. I think the problem was...
The shit one that you're asking me to actually fucking do, aren't you? Yeah, that's... I've got this product that I fucking hate. It's a bit wank. We'll get Craig to do the project because I...
No, it's not so much that. I was just really... I was proud. Like, it was a hard thing to do to like, because it felt in my head that it wasn't hype because I felt like it is going to do it did deliver. But anyway, that was me and Gaz Lawrence. I'll just cut back to that. So me and Gaz completely see eye to eye, and I get his apprehensions and why he was pissed off.
To be honest, because I'd been speaking to Guy Barrett, Russ Brown, and Russ Stevens about having a celebrity boxing match at next Blackpool. You and Gaz, I'm like, brilliant. We can have charity. The money goes to the retired sheep fund or something like that.
I'd honestly, compared to like going into long threads and detailed explanations like I've done in the past, I'd much rather a boxing match. It's what I probably would have done instead of magic, honestly. Anyway, he's fucking sound. He's really sound. And both I came at it from a different angle. He had his back on different things. And actually, just when those things, real world communication wins at the end of the day. So that was that. But also the other thing that's been fucking there's been some defective units out in the wild. So it's in when you manufacture anything, you get an average of 3% to 5% failure rate. And we're not Apple. We're not making Tesla. We're not making Apple products. We're not using billion-dollar infrastructure with micro machinery to make these things. These are made by hand. And there's always a failure rate. You know, you've sold
it was the
tens
same
of quantum. Thousands of products.
It was the same with the Quantum Deck. I mean, we had a certain percentage where they just weren't prepared
to
the level that they should be. But the problem is, and that's not good, and that needs to be dealt with. I mean, the problem is, it's always the vocal minority. The people that get their Lux units and are happy with them, they're just going to be, yeah, this is great, whatever. They don't feel the need to post. But the ones that have got a defective unit, they're the ones that are going to be shouting about it from the rooftops.
Well, I think in a way, they're kind of valid in this point because it was overhyped. So when you overhype something, you expect it to be perfect, you know? And they got it and it hasn't been perfect. Now, the dealers are replacing them easily. And even though it's sold out, we've got a batch that covers 3-5%, as we normally do, set aside for replacement. So they'll get their replacements, even though it's sold out. But people were saying about how pathetic was the quality control. And someone said that I should have quality controlled the units after manufacturing and before shipping. They weren't made in the UK. So either I would have to have flown to a foreign country and checked each unit by hand, and we're not talking like 1,000 or 2,000 units.
And just to be clear, this is a guy who's got to a point in his life now that when he goes on holiday, he goes to fucking Wales where he lives. So
But also, I've got a baby in the house. I can't travel to countries like just to do that. And then literally, somebody actually said that they should have had me personally, because I put my name to it. Check that each one before it was shipped from the California warehouse.
Oh, hang on, you're going to be there in the warehouse.
Yes.
Self up a little deck chair. Right, okay, before they go into that lorry, I just need to open each one. Yep, that works.
Yeah,
right, yep, that works.
what you normally do on this is, and this has been the case for every product that I've been involved in, whether it's my own or not, you take a sample of the batches. And you take a sample of all the units, so a big batch of them from all different, because they're made in like sort of batches, and then check the samples. The really fucking annoying thing is, because we know there's defective ones out there. The really fucking annoying thing is, we didn't get a single defective one in our QC, and we QC'd a giant percentage of them, which is just fucking frustrating because. You want to catch those there was no deadline for us to release this. There was no deadline. So when we were doing our preliminary quality control, we want to find those things because it's so much easier to fix. You know, there's a certain trick that you've been waiting for Murphy's to release for fucking ages. You know the one I'm on about?
I do know the one you're on.
And when we did the sample batch testing of those for QC, I won't say anymore, but you know what I mean? So there's time to fix. It gives us time, right?
Well, so it's not to understand that Murphy's are working on dozens of things at the same time.
Yeah.
They don't have to rush anything to market because there's always between the Daryl Legacy line and the stuff they're doing with Amverde, you and Titanus and George and the creative team working with all the different artists. I mean, you have to turn stuff away at the moment. You've got so much stuff coming out. So there's never a need to rush anything.
No. So it was really annoying that we didn't catch those. I mean, what's happening now is that we are taking the time to check every single one. It's costing like labor and man hours a fucking fortune. But every single one is being checked. This would be done if it was the case that like that we'd found defective units, that would have been the thing. But because we found none in the massive batch that we tested, there was you confident like it happened, you confidently send them out. But either way, my thing with Lux is that there's been a couple of defective units and they're getting replaced, no problem. But yeah, it's really upsetting because also I did everything I could, on my end. There's nothing more I could have done unless I went and made them myself or shipped them myself. I'm not in California, I'm in Wales, you know. But apart from that, it's yeah, the most successful release of my life. And yeah, incredibly proud of it and like really, really happy that, you know, you're never going to get everyone to love it, but the vast majority of the reviews coming out from people who are purchasers or reviewers or people that are just, you know, quote unquote hobbyists sort of all resoundingly say the same thing. I've seen two negative reviews and I can't believe there's not a lot more because it was such a massive amount of sales and such a massive amount of interest in it. You know that it's not going to be for everyone. So yeah, I'm really, really happy, really, really proud, but I'm just trying to keep on top of things and make sure everyone's got like a good experience with it. It's hard work. It's really fucking hard. Man,
I can imagine. I can imagine. But you know, it's good. It's good. It's such an incredible trick. It really is. And you should be very, very proud. And I have said that it's your legacy item. You've peaked. It's all downhill from here.
It definitely is. It definitely is.
You're done. Yeah.
So that's been going on for me this week. I don't know about you. Anything else going out? We spoke about Jonathan Goodwin, didn't we? That was last week.
Yeah, we spoke about that.
Shame.
So tragic. Very quickly, because we seem to be doing this every week. BGT this week, we had a golden buzzer.
I watched it, yes.
Magic Act golden buzzer.
Hell yes.
I think that guy proved, this is going to come across as really, really, I don't want it to come across in a negative way, but I don't mean it as negative. I think the buzzer was absolutely well-deserved. But it just shows that you don't have to be doing, like, do you know what I mean? Everything that he did was quite basic.
Well, it kind of goes to what I was saying that, like, someone like Smoothini, you know, this place for magicians who can just work crowd and just do classics and keep it simple, but just be wholly entertaining. Like some people have just got it, you know, they got that it factor. They got those funny bones. They got ways they can just captivate an audience. He had that I can't remember his name.
Can't remember his name, nor could I pronounce it if I could remember it. So I'll just
Gamble with a K or something, but he's just one of those people that, has got it, whatever. He's got talent. And that's what it's about, right? Some people just got talent and he had it. He could have done anything on that stage and he would have got that golden buzzer.
It was so good. It was so good. So funny. So, yeah. And that ring, the ring floating onto her finger. I mean, that's a BGT moment right there. That's the moment where, you know, she lost her shit over that. Rightfully so.
I think that's an important thing to take into consideration is that I talked about this on the Sunday session just gone, but whether he thought about it from a production point of view or a photography, a directorial point of view, is that framing? Like I'm doing like the little artist looking through a photograph frame image thing with my fingers, but the framing of her standing there with a ring floating down onto her finger, that is a postcard moment. Do you know what I mean? You could take that image and put it on the front of newspapers because it's like that, you know, that, for him to understand that, if it was intentional, and to get that moment on screen, like that is that flash finish. You know what I mean? It's very, very well done. Very well thought out if it was intentional.
I'm going to be interested to see what he does next.
Same.
Because obviously, being a golden buzzer, we know he's through to the semis.
Yeah, that makes him go through the semis.
Yeah, so he's naturally, definitely, 100% going to be one of the acts in the semis, which is great. We've got a magic act in the semis. Awesome.
Do you know, it's kind of... I always wonder with things like this, is no one knew what he was going to do at all. And he was very unassuming when he came on the stage. Whatever he does, almost anything you can do. I'm not taking away, but anything he does is like, wow, because I had no expectations going in. But now he's set the bar really high for himself. So now it's like, you know, you see comedians, when a comedian says someone, they say, what do you do for a living? And they say, I'm a comedian. You've almost fucked yourself over, you know, because it's like, right then, make me laugh.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if him going into the semis after the way his audition was approached, will people be like, all right, we know what we're going to get, so you better fucking deliver. Or is it they're just going to relax and just enjoy him?
I don't know, because the judges didn't get him at first when he was doing the pencil stuff. I think they were kind of like, really? This guy's come on BGT and he's doing a fucking trick with a pencil. And it was only when they realized that it's his personality that got him through. It's his personality. You could have a million magicians, to be honest, including myself.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah, go on BGT and do the exact same stuff he was doing and we'd probably get buzzed off within 5 seconds.
Oh, I wouldn't stand it. If I did that exact routine and I even try to do it the exact same way, not a hope in hell. Not a hope in hell. He just had it. Whatever it is, he's got it. He's fantastic.
Yeah, it's got the impactor. And that's the thing that magicians need to understand. It's not about the trick, it's about you. People buy into you, they don't buy into the trick.
Yeah, although, I remember, I don't know whether this is true, but you know Ben Hart was on there?
Yes.
And at the end, he did the diminishing cards. I think it was like in his final act.
Mm.
Was it in his final?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
He
did the egg in the semi.
And the diminishing cards at the end. I think that he should have chosen a different trick for that.
I don't understand why Ben Hart went for a big illusion in the audition. Yeah. Like, that's not Ben Hart. Ben Hart's not about big, massive illusions, teleportation devices. And that's not what I expect of Ben. I expect suave, sophistication.
Creativity, mystery.
Creativity, yeah, just... He's so fucking good, isn't he? He's so good.
He's just got like this air about him, and I don't know. And I just thought that choice. I think if he had chosen a different finale trick. In fact, I'm confident if he'd chosen a different finale trick, he would have won the show. But also, then there's artistic integrity, isn't it? Maybe he knew that going in, but he thought, no, this is what I want to do. I'm proud of this piece. So there is that. But yeah, I do think trick choice can be a big factor. And I'm saying that in terms of what does he do next, the guy from Saturday Night's Golden Buzzer. But with things like that, he could do anything, couldn't he? So he could just do...
I wouldn't to be honest, that guy, I reckon, could do 21 card trick and make it entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you if he even tried hard enough, and he'd have to put some effort in, but I bet you if he tried hard enough, he could even make Lux look good.
Yeah. No, it's not that good.
Oh, dear me. Right. I don't think there's anything else in terms of what's going on in the magic community at the moment. Nope. We've covered Magic Live. We've covered everything. We've covered...
Is there anything else going on in the magic community?
There is, really.
Have a quick browse everywhere. Actually, what was it? What was on One Ahead? No. David Blaine getting a residency. We talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about that last week, yeah.
When I say One Ahead, I mean oneahead.com. It's the best blog in magic.
Oh, it is. No, remember. Love it.
Nothing. Well, probably there is, but we're fucking idiots, so who knows?
So let's talk about products, Lloyd.
Oh shit! Yeah, products. Fuck. How are we only getting to products now?
I know. I know.
It's kind of like because we kind of covered it. Let's check the.
Yeah, come on, you got your finger on the pulse of absolutely everything that's going on in the magic community.
I don't know what's been coming out. What's been worked on?
Really, don't know. A bit just genuinely. Optrix has just come out by Harpen Ong.
Yeah, he does great work. He's he also some like visual stuff as well. Like he incorporates visuals really smartly into his card magic. So I'll be interested to see that. I'd love to see some performances from it. Oh, Tempest by Manny Lenfield came out this week.
Is that a Murphy's thing?
Yes. I don't know if he sold it to Murphy's or if it's a Murphy.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I don't know how viable that trick is these days. I don't know because I haven't seen it. I can't judge it because I haven't seen it. But I just know most of the places that I go and perform at, people either don't wear watches, or if they do, they're wearing an Apple Watch or some sort of digital watch. You do get places and venues where people still wear analog watches, for sure. But I don't think it happens very often. What do you find?
Do you wear
a watch?
Apple Watch.
See? So if he was with you, you wouldn't be able to do it to you. What does Kaylee wear?
Apple Watch, but then her father and her mother wear standard
watches. Yeah, a lot of the older community, older people, and people that are like watch collectors and stuff, and all of that. But I think a lot of general people that you'd find that your average, I don't know, I just don't know how many people actually have a watch on these days. I never wear. Sarah never wears a watch.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things, right? If people do have it though, you got yourself a miracle. I mean, you know from Yuri Geller doing it on TV just how powerful of an experience it is. And it's so funny. Who was I speaking to the other day? I was speaking to somebody somewhere, and they were on about their partner, their girl or their wife or their girlfriend had a watch unstop itself. They were talking to someone and they said, take the watch home, and it started ticking again, basically, after it stopped. And like, that was all the belief that girl needed. It's all the belief she'll ever need. That is her. You know, everyone has that one magic moment or that one psychic. That was it. So these are, you know, it creates a profound moment for people when you do it. And I think that's something to heavily consider, that not all magic needs to be entertaining and fun and just bam. You can create profound moments for people with that. And I think that is probably why it's worth the price of entry alone. Is to be able to do that. And I've been lucky enough to see The Secret, and super practical. Yeah. And what you get is a like fucking 4 to 5 hour masterclass on watch stopping and things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's actually up your street. If you watched it, you'd be a complete pro at everything to do with like watch stopping effects. It does over deliver. Yeah, it's really, really, really fucking good, actually. And I feel like it's not on everyone's radar. I feel it's kind of gone under even I forgot about it today, but I feel like it's kind of gone under the under people's like recognition. But it's very, very good. Very, very good. If you're interested in any of that type of magic, at least that, I think that is what you need to get.
Okay. That's definitely very, very interesting. Okay. I am planning on getting it to review it 100%. What's the, I'm looking at stuff. I think maybe it's because it's the calm before the storm, because it's Magic Live. There doesn't really seem to be much out other than Harpenong's thing. But here's a question for you. What's the next big Murphy's thing? Can you give us a sneak peek? Because Murphy's kind of every couple of months have something.
Oh, 2 seconds. I think there's somebody on the door. You keep talking.
Okay, so, you know, the Magic Podcast, once again.
There's nobody at my door, don't worry.
Professional as normal. Okay, right, it's back.
The next big Murphy's thing.
Okay, so at the every couple of months, there seems to be I don't know if this is intentional, but from what I can tell, every couple of months, there's a Murphy's thing that's kind of huge. So it was the Quantum Beck at the beginning of the year. Then a couple of months later, it was Shrapnel. That was the main...
Cognito.
Cognito was before Quantum Beck. Yeah. Then obviously you've got Lux. And then you've got smaller things that happen through Murphy's in between, like the ring and the spring thing. That was a Murphy's item, but it wasn't as big as some of the others. The ABC deck by Spidey, that was a big thing. Every couple of months, there seems to be a big thing coming out by Murphy's. Is there something coming out in the next couple of months that... Because we've had Lux.
Yeah, there's what's quite the next a few things, isn't there?
What's I mean, you're probably not allowed to tell me, but
you probably know before me. In fucking fairness, in complete fairness, actually, that one thing that Patrick sent you, I think.
Oh, is that coming out soon?
I think that's coming out soon. That's going to be big.
Hey, I had quite a few routines for that.
I know. I haven't even got a unit, and you've got one. That's what I mean. You'll literally probably know before me because I didn't fucking know. and then what else is coming? I'm going to be debuting. The new app coming out.
Is that the one?
Magic Live.
Okay. Is that the one that you and I have talked about that you're doing? To do with the certain deck?
Yes.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I can't wait to get that. That's right up my street.
I'm excited to see that. And for what I like about this app is that this isn't like with Cognito, it sort of did some groundbreaking stuff. And for me, I always have, sort of have like these bullet points with certain plots in Magic that I like to try and tick off. So like for Cognito, it was, I genuinely wanted to be able to have someone think of something and without indicating it, like by writing it, typing it, texting it, pointing at it, telling someone or anything. And in most cases, like in the case of Cognito, like if it's like a horoscope thing or even their card, they don't even look at it. They actively don't acknowledge it. So the thought only exists in their mind. And I still wanted to be able to reveal that. And for that to be like, that for me was like a fairly groundbreaking thing because of the method that we use combined with the new methods added to it. But with this, it's just a really powerful tool. So it's not, I'm not expecting the new app to blow the roof off the building and get everyone's eyes on it, but it's kind of like digital force bag in a way. It's super practical. It's a powerful tool. And when used correctly, you have the ability to sort of take your routines and make them like just crystal, crystal clean. So what's cool about the app is that if you like, you don't need to use it in certain seconds. It's an odd one, but yeah, I'm excited to put it out basically because I don't want the hype around this one. Not because of, I think like Lux at the final hour felt like it was too big, but this one isn't for everyone. You know, if you're a coin guy, you're not going to be interested in this.
No. Yeah, you're not. It's a very niche product. A little bit like Forecast was a niche product for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's going to be very good, though. It's going to be very good.
So that's all I know. There's other things, I think, as well. But the stuff that me and you are working on, hopefully, if we can get some of those things.
Quite a few things that we're working on, actually, together.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Talk for a second. I want to show you something. Wait there.
So I'm trying to think what we can tell people that we're working on. But either way, we're going to be hopefully filming some performances at least, maybe even explanations, whilst Craig is hanging out with us all.
Absolutely.
After also, Magic Live.
This isn't a Murphy's product. It's actually a product for somebody else, but you helped me create it.
Did I?
I just want to show you this.
Did I really? Oh, wow. Oh, they came out perfect. Wow.
Aren't they nice?
They came out really well.
Really good. Just what I wanted.
Shit.
How cool's that?
You fucking work fast, man.
So.
What company made those cards?
Print by Magic.
James Anthony, yeah, he's brilliant.
Turned it around in like a day.
Jeebus Christ.
It's exactly what I wanted.
How much did it cost for a full deck?
I don't know. He still hasn't invoiced me. I just said money is no object. Just get it, me.
Yeah, ASAP. I think he should be at Magic Live. I normally bump into James Anthony at Magic Live. He's such a good laugh.
So, yeah, I mean, I think we've covered... Oh, I will say one more thing about products. I have a product coming out with Alakazam at some point.
Yes.
I've been speaking to you about it. You know about it. We've been talking about certain aspects of the release, if you remember.
Yes.
Which I'm speaking to Alakazam with. It's not being released until later on this year. However, they are doing a soft launch at Magic Live.
Is Alakazam going to be at Magic Live?
They're going to be at Magic Live. Well, actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to tell people this. It's only Harry Nardi.
Oh, really?
Magic Live, yeah.
On his own?
I think he's going to have somebody with him, but it's mainly Harry, not Peter and Jenny, because I think there's been some passport issues that they've not been able to sort out.
No.
So Peter and Jenny were meant to be there, but they can't be there. So you've got the boy wonder representing Alakazam.
I've never met Harry.
Oh, he's amazing. You'd love him to bits. And I'm doing a project with him, and he's like, when we're over in the States, Craig, why don't we go down the strip and we'll film you doing the trick off the project on the strip? I'm like, okay, Harry, whatever you want. Tell you who else is going to be there. 1914, I know, are going to be there.
Is he? D's going to be there.
He's going to be there. And you know who's bringing with him? Alexander Marsh.
No. Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be cool. I don't think I've ever met him. He seems like such a sweetheart. I'd love to.
I saw him at the Champions of Magic Live, because obviously he's part of the Champions of Magic tour with Young and Strange and all the other guys. And he was absolutely incredible. And I interviewed him afterwards.
God. It's going to be so funny seeing D with the suntan.
I know, right? Isn't he basically a vampire? I mean, he's going to like turn into dust.
He's a jellyfish. You could like see his heart beating through his chest.
Right? Yeah. It's going to be very interesting. Yeah, 1914 are going to be there. D's going to be there with Alexander Marsh. So,
Great. So I see a lot of Brits heading over there. I've seen like a Facebook post today of like 6, 7, 8 magicians flying over from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. But we've talked about Magic Live. I just wanted to mention that to you.
The Alakazam product. The soft launching at Magic Live.
The soft launching it at Magic Live. So they're going to have a few on their stand. Very limited quantities.
Hell yes.
It's a tutorial.
But you're demo for Penguin. Are they releasing anything new?
Penguin, don't tell me fucking anything. I didn't even know the release Chop until it fucking hit the fuck. So somebody had to tell me, oh, has Chop come out? Oh, it has. Really? That's good to know. I didn't realize. Like, they never tell me anything. They are the exact opposite of you, Lloyd Barnes. You hype shit up to the nth degree. And okay, Lloyd's got a new project coming out in a couple of months. Right, let's start the fucking treasure hunt. Look to the stars. Solve this clue. Go get a spade and dig in your garden and, you know, all of that crap. They're the exact polar opposite. They don't hype at all. It's just like one day it's not there on their site and the next day it's there. That's what they do. They don't hype anything. And they just send an email out.
Yeah, it's a good way of doing it. It's a good way of doing it. I just I like the excitement.
You like the hype, things. Don't you? I know you do.
It's not the hype. I like the excitement. I mean, like I said before, I created a little treasure hunt, a big fucking treasure hunt for my wife's Christmas present 2 years ago. I just like that sort of shit.
I know you do.
Thing is, if people don't like it, they don't have to look at it.
Well, you know, as a very famous magician who lives in Las Vegas once said, if you have to hype something, is it really that good? I mean, obviously, he was one of the biggest hype men of the world. So, moving on. Sorry, not sorry. What are we talking about today, Lloyd? What's your controversial opinion?
Oh, God. Mind you, I actually... I put up an Instagram post a while ago, didn't I?
Welsh then. That was so Welsh.
Actually, let me tell you now, boys.
Actually, boyo.
I put up an Instagram post a while back asking for controversial opinions, and I shall read some of them out now. Or at least maybe put one to you.
Okay.
Here we go. There it is. What's your controversial opinion? So let me read. Okay, someone says, I won't read names. Paul Daniels' chop cut routine isn't actually that good. Fucking hell, that's a controversial opinion.
I can understand why people would say that. Purely because it's very fast-paced. I love that style. You know that's very much my style. Yeah. I love that style. And it's the style that will work for real people in a real world. And you can't argue the fact that he built a career off that fucking routine. However, for people that like their magical artsy and fartsy, I can imagine it would give them a migraine. You know, you, if you're the sort of person that's like, right, this is a cup and this represents the cup of Christ and this ball here represents your soul.
Oh, yeah, I fucking hate that type of magic.
All of that crap. Like, if that's your style, and if it is, that's fine. You know, I'm not a storyteller. I've openly said that, and that's not my style. But if it is your style, watching Paul Daniels will probably make you throw up. So, but for me, it's fucking amazing.
Do you know what? I don't like routines like that, per se. I don't know what it is about routines like that, but luckily I've seen Paul Daniels do that routine in person 4 times, I think, in my life. And it's fucking incredible. It is fucking incredible. That man can have an arena. Or I don't think he ever played an arena, that's but he would have an arena eating at the palm of his fucking hands with that routine. And what I loved about it is that I've seen him perform to layman filled theaters. I've seen him perform to packed full of magicians, room packed full of magicians. Don't matter. Everyone fucking loves that routine when they see him do it. But I will say, only he can do it.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no one else that can do it like him. No one else can do his routine verbatim the way he does it and blow the house off. It is Paul's routine, and it was fucking majestic.
Oh, I completely agree. I like my chop cut routines, like my sex life. Loud, hard, over very quickly, with a big climax at the end.
And performed by a dead man.
We've really gone into fucking Paul Daniels' corpse. Oh my God, that's a new low. If Debbie McGee listens to this, I'd like to apologise.
I'll read out one or two more. Let's do some quick. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry not
Someone
sorry.
Says here, books and old magic are the best places to learn.
Are the best places to learn?
Yeah. Books, I don't know if that's
an old magic. Look, I love reading my old abracadabras from 60 years ago. But I think that a lot of the time when we look back, and yes, I agree. There's lots of really awesome old routines. And I'm all about standing on the shoulders of giants and hidden gems and so on and so forth. But I think that the people that think that way and only that way, they discount some of the amazing material that comes out now, because there are stuff that's coming out now that wouldn't be possible 20 years ago. If you showed Lux to somebody from the 1960s, they'd fucking lose their shit just about just that there's a pen that will. But do you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say here is don't discount the stuff that's coming out in the modern day. Because it's really fucking good.
In terms of learning, I think I started learning from fucking books. It's good, but I learn a lot quicker and much more intuitively from video, because you understand there's things that you see through the screen or even in person compared to books, like the timing, the tempo, which is the same fucking thing. The handlings from different angles that you couldn't understand from a sketched picture in a book. Like, you're gonna learn better from things, but you do learn to copy people in from video. You know, instead of finding your own way. I think books are good for finding your own style and interpreting things, but to learn bit for bit.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I made this statement ages ago, and people crucified me for it, so they probably will again. But I think that the two most openly, the books that people recommend when you get into magic is The World Road to Card Magic for card magic and Bobo's Modern Coin Magic for coin magic. I just think that there's way better things that you could let people look at now. Those are really old and hard to read. A couple of years ago, I gave Ryland, when I wanted Ryland to learn Gadabout coins, I gave him Bobo's Modern Coin Magic. And I said, read that and then show it me. And he came back about 2 hours later and he's like, I haven't got a fucking clue. We didn't say fucking, I haven't got a clue. I don't understand. I haven't got a clue. I then stuck him down in front of a Michael Lamar Easy to Master Money series, showed him the same routine within 15 minutes. He got it perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. It says it all, doesn't it? All right, that was a good question. One or two more. Zombie ball is one of the worst routines in existence.
Depends if you do it so that it looks like somebody's having an erection as part of a cards across routine.
Yeah, I seen a guy in Blackpool on the gala show before Russ's involvement, this was, using a zombie skull, and he did it in the context of a zombie ball routine on the stage with thousands of magicians watching, and then he got to the point where he was trying to make it look like he was giving him a blowjob, and it was and some people can pull that type of comedy off. This guy couldn't, and it was fucking abysmal, and I thought, fuck me, I'm wasting my time here, and I got up and left. So, I don't know. There's a place for everything.
Big fan of the zombie ball. Never have been. I think it's fairly obvious. Although I do remember being very impressed when I saw Lysander do his floating bubble routine for the first time. And I saw him lecture the floating bubble. There's a moment in his floating bubble where he's got a handkerchief that's got a zombie ball gimmick in it. And he's got this bubble that he's blown. And he keeps floating it. And then he covers it up with the handkerchief. And you see the bubble, and the bubble starts rising, and then he pops the bubble, and the handkerchief goes. That was a very subtle, just one part of the routine.
That's nice. I love things that are more subtle. All right. There's a lot of opinions I've got in this thread here, but I'll read one to you, which does stand out. I'll say the name because I don't think it's an offensive opinion. Dr. Don says, there is no such thing as the classic palm with a card. It doesn't actually exist. I wonder if he means that as in, like, everyone does it differently.
I don't know.
So it's just a palm.
I don't even understand what you're saying there, to be honest.
Okay, someone says here, the old stuff needs to be let go and or remodeled for modern audiences.
Well, I think that's what people do. I think that's always... I mean, you without bringing it back to my own routines, I think that the old stuff, you don't let it go, but you use it to, like... So, for example, chop, my routine chop, wouldn't exist if it wasn't for a chop cup. And a desire to do that routine with a cup that you can borrow and a note that you can borrow, and having a desire to be able to do it without needing to carry around a little cup with a special cup and a little ball that looks like it's got a sweater on it. You know, I wanted to, but that wouldn't have happened. So I don't think that we should just let the old routines go. But I think what we should do is we should look at them and say, well, how can we actually modify them and improve them for, you know, modern audiences.
Like matchstick magic is sort of dying out. Thimble magic is dying out. I know a lot of it's been repurposed to ring magic and things now.
Have you ever seen Alan Hudson's thimble routine?
I have not, but I do like thimble magic. I have a pawn.
Alan Hudson's thimble routine is the funniest magic trick in the world.
Yeah, I bet.
Ever.
I'd love to see it. Well, do you know, we're going on to the thing of the whole problem. I haven't seen, what's his name? The Millionaire's Magician, Steve, performs in the Waldorf in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Cohen?
Yes.
I think from what I gather and what I can see all about him is that he has a lot of Max Bellini material. He just released the Max Bellini book, which I'd fucking love to get my hands on. He does a lot. His parlor show is like vaudeville magic, like it's classic magic. I think it's with traditional props as well, I think.
Right.
And from what I can gather, that show, everyone says it's phenomenal. I'm a huge fan of Steve's magic. I can tell the show is fantastic, going to be amazing when I get a chance to see it. And without, if we did get rid of all the old material, then that show wouldn't stand as it is. So there is an argument to say no, like sometimes there is a place where, like, I do love the mystery of using old things, or what we say is old. Like matchsticks are not a common object these days, but I love matchstick magic. I know a bunch of matchstick effects. I would hate for them to not exist. All right, last one. Last little controversial opinion. I'll watch the link you've sent me as I tell you it.
Yeah.
Most stage magic is corny and lame.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you and die.
Wow.
Wrong. Fuck off. Next question.
Do you not think at all?
Well, I mean, I'd love to know if the person asking that has ever performed on stage before. Yeah.
What do you interpret when he says stage magic, though?
Performing on stage to an audience.
No, but do you take it as like big box illusions? Do you take it as like somebody, like, for example, David Williams performs on stage, but I wouldn't class him as a stage magician or the stuff, you know, he, like, so for me, I define the answer personally. I see it as he means like Chris Angel's type illusion shows like that.
Is he though? Is he?
I don't know. Most illusion stage magic shows. Yeah, true.
Is he?
Think of stage magic, what do you think of?
Personally, because I do stage magic and that's I also true. Do illusions, I actually think of stage magic as a cabaret show. The like the sort of thing that you've seen me do at Smoke and Mirrors a few times. Now, let me ask you.
Yeah,
I define that differently to stage. Is my act at Smoke and Mirrors, you can be honest, I don't care, is my act cringy?
No, it's fucking brilliant, but I don't consider that stage. To me, that's like exactly what you said, that's cabaret. For me, stage is big box illusions. Like, that's what I class as stage magic.
Or stuff that plays on a big stage. Like, okay, so you said that you really like Matrix Illusions because it was, like, different on BGT. It was, like...
Yeah, yeah, super entertained by that.
It was, yeah, it was really, okay, really good. So I think it really depends. I think the problem with a lot of illusionists is because to get the really cool stuff, like the really expensive, it costs a lot of money. I think that you can present illusions in a very, very... cringy way if you're not careful, but I think there's people out there that are doing it the right way. I mean, look at that, but anything can be presented cheesy, and it's also subjective. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, again, yeah, I'm totally. Gonna bring it back to myself or back to my family. Like Ryland, you saw Ryland and Blackpool do his cube act. There's nothing cringy about that.
Yeah.
But it played on a big stage.
Yeah. I won't read the person's name who said that controversial opinion. It fucking is a controversial opinion. Yeah. That is a sorry. There's certain stage acts that I can't even watch them because it's so corny and lame. But not all of them. I think there is a disparity between the good ones and the bad ones though. Like the good ones are great, and then the bad ones you can't look. I think, you know what I mean? My thing with stage magic is not the only reason I wouldn't perform it. I actually wouldn't look good in spandex, but...
You don't have spandex when you're performing on stage.
I could wear the spandex. It's that I'm not... I don't do gigs, and a big part of this for this ethos that I personally hold is that magic should feel spontaneous. So when they're doing like the dance routines to go with it, that shows they've practiced, which inherently tells the audience that this is rehearsed, which then feels like the magic's not spontaneous. But I think it's a different area of magic, isn't it? It's not about, like, when I try and perform, like, I make people, not stupidly believe in magic, but experience, like, a real magic moment. Whereas I think stage, where people are dancing and jazz hands and things, it's more about just having entertainment and having fun and having a good night out with the family, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's two different types of magic people are experiencing. If you're trying to compare one to the other, you can't. Do it.
Yeah.
I would love to take my wife to go and see like the Chris Angel show. I think she'd fucking love it. I'd fucking have a whale of a time seeing it, but that's not the type of magic I would ever be interested in personally doing myself. But it doesn't mean I can't absolutely completely appreciate it and enjoy it. Wholeheartedly enjoy it. Just but to call it corny and lame, I think that's not cool.
Yeah. I agree. Maybe. As a stage performer, I feel disparaged.
I've never seen your stage act. I'd fucking love to see it.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. I don't take it seriously. It's all played for laughs.
It'd be hilarious if you did, though.
Take it seriously. Yeah. I did one, you know, oh my God. Back in the day when I was putting my illusion show together, this is the cringiest thing that I've ever tried to do. And it was bordering on simulated rape on stage. It comes back to one of those routines where you think it's a really good idea until you actually watch it back and you realize that it's just shit. So I had this thing called the Lights of Doom, which I had as an illusion when I first started as an illusionist. And it basically, you put a girl in this whole thing that goes around her waist and you push these lights or rods, light up rods, and you push them through and they go through the other side. It's like a visual penetration.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, how am I going to make this interesting? So I came up with the idea of a David Copperfield starter kit. And the whole idea is me and my business partner at the time, Russell, we were on stage together and we were like, right, okay, you know, we really want to be illusionists. So we've bought a David Copperfield starter kit. Everything we need to be Illusionist.
Oh my God.
And it comes with a CD. We're going to play the CD and we're going to go for it. And it was based on the Vanishing Bandana. And we went and had, this is the effort we put into it. We went and had a voiceover artist film and edit this crazy shit. Yeah. And it was like, right, okay. And it's like, play the CD. And it was, I can't remember, it's so long ago now, but it was something like, right, welcome to the David Copperfield starter kit. First of all, you will find included in this package props. Please put them on. So we ran into the wings and he had a fucking mullet wig. I had a long blonde wig. We had spangly jackets, spangly...
Find the video evidence, please.
I've got the video somewhere. So we come running out like this and it's like, first we need some cool illusion music. And Gerada played like Sandstorm, which was the cheesiest illusion music. And there's me and Russ and we're on stage high-fiving each other and we're hurrah, completely over the top. But then it was like I my character for some reason in this scripted thing, I became a rapist basically.
Oh my God. Moment,
right, where they were like, right, now lock the girl up in the restraints. And I was like, oh, rubbing my hands together, looking really excited. And then there was this moment, I'll never forget it, where they were like, now you're going to penetrate the girl from behind. That's what the script said. And I literally on stage
raped her. All right. Oh no.
Rubbed my hands together. And then the voice goes, with the lights of doom, and I walk off looking depressed. As if my life.
It's quite funny, but yeah, fuck it.
We did a showcase before we even did the holiday park circuit. We did a showcase. No, we didn't. We did the Brighton Fringe. And somebody who was really big in holiday parks came to watch the whole show. And afterwards, we got the feedback, and they were like, yeah, we want to offer slightly unusual contract. But they have to take this routine out. It's pornographic.
No. And it's borderline creepy.
But it's one of those things where at the time I was scripting it and I was like, oh, this is a funny line. This is, we'll penetrate them from behind. And looking back, it's just a weird. What are you thinking, you idiot? You know, about the time.
But also, times like in the last 10 years alone, like, have massively changed. Like, just things you can even fucking say these days. You think, fucking hell. But back then, it was just like it was a throwaway thing. So,
yeah.
But, oh, actually, don't. You'll never host the Oscars again if you find that footage.
Oh, okay. It's there somewhere. But yeah, have you got any other sorry, not sorries, or are we moving on to the end bit?
There are more, but...
Hold them back for next week if you want to.
Yeah, I thought we could hold some back. Or we could put
for our Vegas special.
Oh, yes, hell yeah.
See if we can get some really special guests on there. Come on, you work at Murphy's. Get Chris Angel.
Who? Chris Angel?
Yeah, or David Copperfield.
David Copperfield.
Yeah. I've got a question. We're going into the question thing now. I've got
I forwarded you one from Shark Traeger.
Well, I've got a question that somebody sent to me in text, and it's an interesting question that I couldn't possibly answer. So I'm going to throw it over to you. Hey guys, I've got a question. How come Murphy's is the only magic wholesaler? It seems to me it's the only one, in my opinion. I may be wrong, but how come Murphy's do not have any competition? It seems like they have a monopoly on magic wholesaling. I understand if you're not allowed to answer due to contractual obligations, but I'd love to know. From my opinion, and you're in a better position to answer this than me, I remember when I first got into magic, there was more than one wholesaler. There was Mac Magic.
Well, so the answer to the question is, they aren't the only wholesaler. There are other wholesalers. I think the second biggest is in Italy. I think there's a few over in Asia somewhere. It's just that Murphy's are the most successful. You don't have to go to Murphy's, and I think other companies are starting to do wholesale or do a bit of wholesale in general anyway. I know, like, I think like Penguin will wholesale their products out too, you know, like Chop will be wholesaled to Murphy's even. Well,
Alakazam have got wholesale, it. I know the Magic Box have got it, Saturn have got it, Prop Dog have got it. There's a load of people that
But there are other specific wholesale only companies out there. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but there's one in Italy, I think, which is like the second largest. So it's quite simply, they're not. They're just the most successful, and they're the one that people like doing business with the most, and the one that sort of has the biggest reach globally. So if you do want to get your product out on the shelves of every magic brick and mortar store in the world, your best chance is to go to Murphy's.
Yeah. Good answer. I agree.
I've emailed you an email audio question from Shark Traeger.
Have we not had one from Gareth Whitty? Is he okay? Is he dead?
I don't know. Probably. Did he send it to us on Facebook or something?
Is he dead? I don't want him to die. I quite like him. Okay, here we go. Okay. Hi, Craig and Lloyd. Oh, it's actually Lloyd and Craig. Apparently, Lloyd comes first. Hey, Lloyd and Craig.
That's what she said.
The podcast is still a highlight of my week. Thank you. I wonder what slights you struggle with or feel you're never going to grasp. I'm pretty damn good at the ukulele, but I've made peace with the fact that I'll never play an E chord without breaking my fingers in the process. What's your magical equivalent of the E chord? P.S. I found the attached recording online somewhere. Feel free to play it if you're feeling resilient and can handle it. Love you guys. Can't wait to see Lux and psyched about Forecast. If you can handle it. What the fuck is this that you've sent me? Okay, here we go.
Hi, guys. It's Richard Wadd here. I'm better known as Magic Dick 911 from Magic Cafe. And 911, not because of you know what, but named after Porsche, which one day I will drive.
One day I will drive.
I was bought a track day from my 486, but it only lasted 5 minutes. So, podcast has been around for a while now. I thought I'd give you some honest feedback. And guys, I'm sorry, but I think you could do better. The Magic Podcast is basically just you guys talking about magic, which has been done before. Is that original? Well, I don't think so. I'm a seasoned performer, mainly silks. I definitely don't use gimmicks that can be Googled. So I think it's interesting that you're discussing our subculture, but to be honest, is it good enough for magicians? No, I don't think so. A lot of it is mainly just hype. And frankly, sorry to say this, but I think you're running in it for the dollars, the money, hype and money with you guys. I've got nothing against you personally. I just don't like it, or you personally. I actually listened to the podcast. I'm too busy on the cafe, to be honest, but I've heard from lots and lots of people. So that's my opinion, and I'm entitled to it. Anyway, have a good one. Love and light.
Hilarious. That thing I did the David Copperfield voice before. So good. so good. What was his question? Oh. What's your E chord? By the way, I hope we get more emails from him because he's fucking hilarious. I like that.
I want
a Porsche track day for my birthday. One day I'll have a Porsche. Go only drove 5 minutes.
And you're right. Lloyd is all about the hype and the money. I know him well enough to know that. He doesn't care about the magic community. He doesn't care about the people. He goes on with heartfelt videos every so often, like, oh, Cognito. But, you know, he's all about the fucking money. That's all. All he cares about is little dollar signs. He's a cunt. Carry on. Not me, though. It's all about the art. That's all it's about with me, the art. What's all that about? Art, only the art.
What is your magic E chord? I would just say for you.
I'm hoping that you can fix this for me.
Well, yours is just talent, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm a fucking cunt. Shit performer.
That's what your wife said. Whee!
I use the same 5 hack lines over and over again. I'm kind of pretty shit. And that's not fixable. But from a slight point of view, I'm hoping you can help me out this weekend, because one slight that I should be able to do and I've never been able to do, and everyone else can do it, including Ryland, and I just can't do it, is the TJ Murphy deck flip. I can't do that slight. I've watched you do it with jealousy.
I can only do it with I can only do, I can't do a full one without one card flicking away for some reason.
I can't do it at all. I just, the cards go fucking everywhere.
Okay, my E chord, I love that question, by the way, is the muscle pass.
Oh, well, I can help you with that.
Can you muscle pass? I've never seen you do it. Obviously, you can. You're a coin extraordinaire, but I've never seen you do it.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't.
I'm throwing it so high up that...
Look at the, you know, your other hand's off screen, Craig, so you could just be throwing the fucking...
Oh, there you go. Look, I'll keep that hand completely still.
Oh, yeah, you can... You fucking... You've got...
I can, I can really get good. It even higher than that. Look at that.
Wow. Yeah, you're really, really good at it. I've practiced for years and years and years and years. But you know what? It's been happening to me lately. Have you ever heard of the yips in darts? The yips?
No.
Professional dart... players, after years and years and years, they get something called the yips, which is sort of like a psychological thing which stops them throwing the dart. It's almost like they've thrown so much that they can't do it. They put a mental block on. It's called the yips. It's sort of like they just, like, often they need like psychologists to overcome it and things, I think. But it's called the yips. I have started fucking up my double lifts. Not that I could always do them well, but a certain double that I do, I've started fucking it up. And it's, I know what I'm doing wrong. It's the easiest fix in the world. But it's almost like I've regressed and I fucked my double lifts up, or one way of doing them.
Well, see, the easy way to deal with that is just to be shit from the beginning. Then, like me, you know, you can't go worse if you're not any good.
Yeah. No, I'll show it to you. It's I could do more difficult double lifts like that. You know, the one where you put the air in it, I could do. But if I'm just doing a basic double, I continually split them. I can't for the life of me. I know how to stop it, and I can't.
That double lift there, where you said, "Oh yeah, split it slightly." That's probably better than any double lift I've ever done in my life.
But I'm very picky, and I hate the fact that I'm regressing on it. So I don't know. But for me, muscle passing. I mean, I am literally, look how pathetic this is. This is just a. It's like the last drip of piss out your.
Oh, it's like flaccid.
Out your lad.
Although, on the subject of darts, that's another controversial opinion. Is darts really a fucking sport? Really? Fucking really? 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 No, it's fucking not. It's not.
It's a game. It's a game.
It's not a sport. People, dart players call it a sport. They call themselves professional sportsmen. You're not a professional sportsman. You're fucking not. You stand there drinking beer, throwing a dart. That's not a sport. If you can still do that, fuck it. No, I'm sorry. It's not a sport. It's not a sport.
I can't wait to turn into the dart, tune into the darts podcast where they go, hey, a magicians, is that a real fucking job? Doing fucking tricks? Is that that's not a fucking job. It's a fucking piss take, mate. What do you mean you sell the secrets?
Can I just confirm, where was that accent meant to be from? I'm trying to...
That was my impression.
It started off at Northern, and then it went kind of up to Newcastle, and then came back down.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the accents that I hear around me at Blackpool. That's kind of like... Sorry. It's fucking great, mate. I've just been dealer's hall. It's only 40 quid and it comes with fucking everything you need. It's great. Yeah, they can't do it.
I can't do a Welsh accent. Every time I try, I end up sounding Asian. I just can't do it.
That's what happens to me with a beard. Every time I try and grow a beard, I look like an Asian girl.
You know, I wouldn't bother, especially as you hang out with Bo Kramer quite a lot. You just never...
Bo Kramer. Oh, hello. Bo Kramer. You sound like Jonathan Ross. Bo Kramer, hello.
Bo. No.
So that was a good question. Any other magic sleights that you fucking suck at or can never learn? I can't do the clip shift, and I've tried that. I've practiced that. Can't do it.
I'm trying to think. I can't do a classic pass very well. I do the pass. I do a midnight shift or like that style of pass or a turnover pass. Them I'm fine with. I'm not very good at the classic pass at all. I can do it because I make sure that I do it when nobody's looking, you know, which is the whole point. I had a great conversation with James Brown at the Wessex Magic Convention. And he told me a story about when he went to Blackpool and nobody knew who he was. There were this group of like six kids that were like 16, 17 that were just there doing sleights for each other. And James walked over. They didn't know who he was. And they were like, okay, show us your pass. He's like, what? He's like, show us your pass. Okay, no problem. And he took the deck of cards And he started talking to them. And when he talked to them, they looked up and he said, I've done it. And they went, that's not fair. We weren't looking. And he went, fucking exactly. I just gave him the cards and walked off.
I think James Brown might be the best magician in the UK, or one of the best magicians in the UK by a long shot, best performing close-up magician in the UK. Do you think so?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
He's just an enigma.
I fucking love James Brown on so many levels. Yeah. At Wessex, we had a session where he spent an hour showing me bad taste card magic.
Oh my God, I would love to have been there for that.
It was the most incredible experience of my life. I loved it, every second of it. Each card trick got more and more fucked up.
Oh, I don't think I could. I would have paid money for that session.
Oh my God, I think I can't even say any. It's too bad to even say on the podcast.
Oh, you mean like gross magic? Oh yeah. Oh, I've had a few sessions with James on those.
Oh my God. Like some of them I'm like, oh my, and he just doesn't fucking care.
What's the one? Like, so I'm gonna dribble the cards. This is the rape card trick, okay? Craig, say stop.
Stop. Yes, he showed me that.
That's the spirit. They go, stop, stop, stop. You go, that's the spirit.
he showed me one where
I think I learned that from James Brown, actually, that one.
He's got this one called the Madeleine McCann card trick.
Oh, fucking hell.
And he just takes a card and he spreads them out and he says, pick a card. He says, he makes a big deal of it. He's like, I'm not going to look. Pick a card. Pick a card. Pick a card. Don't look at it. Don't look at it. Don't let me see it. Show it around to him. Don't let me look at it. Very good. Put it back in the deck. And they put it back in the deck and he says, shuffle. And he takes the cards back and he goes, is that completely lost? And they go, yeah. And he just puts it down and walks off.
Oh, fucking hell. I've just come up with such a good idea for a horrible joke.
What about a project? Can Murphys green light that?
Dude, they won't even fucking associate themselves with the podcast, and that's nothing compared to some of the fucking jokes I know.
Good point.
But no, wouldn't it be good if... Oh no, this is too offensive. We'll fucking do it in person. We'll do it live.
The podcast live. What happens on the podcast stays on the podcast, at least when it's live.
Because we make sure we need to make that decision.
I think when we do the podcast live next, and I know we are doing it next a few times, I think we just need to say, you're either there or you're not. We don't upload that episode.
Yeah.
I know that sound issues were genuinely didn't upload it because it was offensive. It was fucking very offensive, the live. But there were sound issues. But I think we just don't upload it because if it's anything like the last one that we did,
yeah,
fuck me. I don't even remember half of it. But what I do remember, I can't believe you said that.
I didn't want to do the fucking first one. Now we have to do it again. Wait, can I say that?
Why not?
So we have to do it again somewhere. Yeah. Fuck it.
We're doing it.
Can we say it?
I think so, yes.
We just said it. Yeah. You heard it here first, folks. Craig, tell everyone the news.
Well, we'll be back at Blackpool doing the podcast live again. And I think this time I need to go for 47 pints because I don't think I'll have a lecture the next day.
Or a career.
Yeah, we're great. That's gonna be fun.
Amazing. All right. Well, look, that's everything covered. That's the questions. We fucked the giveaways off, haven't we? Let's be honest.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. Yeah, because
with the next time you hear our beautiful voices, we will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Magic Live Convention 2022. And
exciting. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be brilliant. You can tune in and see us then. Yeah. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media where we never fucking post. Don't forget to like the Facebook page that we never fucking post on. That is, we do actually occasionally go on the discussion group thing.
The Magic Podcast Facebook page, which is the Magic Podcast official discussion group on Facebook, is brilliant.
We are on there. There's some great stuff on there and it's like anything goes in there. So it's a great group to be in. But anywhere else, don't even fucking bother. But do subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform, whatever that may be, whether it be Spotify.
And maybe ask us some questions that are relevant to us being in Magic Live so you can find out what the fuck is going on from us over there.
Yeah. Well, I assume you're going to be doing another sexy video like you did at Blackpool.
Oh, yeah. I'm probably going to do like the survival tips of 10.
No, I'm talking about the one at Blackpool. You're going to do a...
Oh, the 40 best tricks. Yeah, there's not as many dealers this time, so it'll probably be like the 20 best tricks of Magic Live or whatever the fuck goes on. But yeah, it'll be a video.
Good.
I have to do sanity. I'm not drinking, so I've got to do something to keep me busy.
Yeah. You'll be busy. I know you'll be busy. We'll be seeing you next week live from Vegas. Thank you once again for tuning into the Magic Podcast live. Not live. The Magic
not
Podcast.
Live.
Not live. Live. Not live. With the Magic Podcast. We'll see you again. I'm Craig.
I'm Lloyd.
Thanks very much. Lloyd fucks sheep.
Craig Counson.
Oh my God in heaven.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.